Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, we love you, we adore you, and we surrender everything to you. We submit to you in everything, and we trust you to direct our paths. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18, NKJV. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we look at the spiritual realm for the true reality of the world. What we see around us is simply a physical expression of what God has created. It's evident to see that the disciples believed this as well, as seen in Acts 4, verse 23 to 27. This is when Peter and John were tackled by the religious leaders and told not to preach in the name of Jesus. So verse 23 says, as soon as they were released from custody, Peter and John went to the other believers and explained all that had happened with the high priest and the elders. When the believers heard their report, they raised their voices in unity and prayed. Lord Yahweh, you are the Lord of all. You created the universe, the earth, the sky, the sea, and everything that is in them. And you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant David, our forefather, saying, how dare the nations plan a rebellion, ranting and raging against the Lord Most High? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the kings of the earth take their stand, with the rulers scheming and conspiring together against God and his anointed Messiah. In fact, Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with Jews and non-Jews, met together to take their stand against your holy servant, Jesus, the Messiah. And we all know how that ended. It ended with the resurrection of Jesus and total victory over the enemy. This saying comes from Psalm 2, verse 1 to 3. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. And so the devil's lie is that they are breaking away from the bonds and obtaining freedom. What is in actual reality is that they are going into bondage. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same Matthew 11:28-30, GPT says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me. All that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. And so the truth is that when we align ourselves with God, when we take on his yoke, we are actually set free and we can experience true rest. We have this encouragement in 1 Corinthians 10:13 in KJV. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, we might have heard that scripture many times, so I want to read it again in TPT version, so you can get a fresh perspective. We all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face, so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. For along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. How's that for encouragement? Jesus himself gives us more encouragement in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We get more encouragement in Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all what things? Well, let's have a look at it in the TPT version. Romans 8, verse 31 to 37. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, Who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them. Not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the Anointed One, for he gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God's Anointed One? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, "All day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered." Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. And so we can see, no matter what we are facing, and in the world today, things are happening in various countries. Even in our own country, there is a move afoot to try and control the pastors and their preaching. So yeah, we need to pray against that. And there might come a time when you need to choose, when we need to choose between continued physical life or physical death and eternal life. So if you think again of our life as a long piece of rope, let's say 100 kilometers long, and 3 inches, the tip of that rope, is our physical life here on earth. It is surely better to endure a bit of hardship here and enjoy all that beauty for so much longer than whatever difficulties will happen here. Even the people in the concentration camps and in war zones, even that amount of suffering doesn't compare to the beauty, to the glory, to the sheer wonder of living forever in the presence of our loving God. As I might have mentioned, I'm a paddler, and I've completed the Berg River Canoe Marathon 3 times, and I heard someone say that the Berg is not for sissies. Well, being a child of God is not for sissies either. And yet Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So what is it? Is it hard or is it easy? Well, in the physical realm, it's not just hard, it is impossible. There is no way a natural, carnal human being can live the Christian life. The only way we can do the impossible is by being a child of God, by responding to his love with the faith that he has given us. Remember, he gives each one a portion of faith. That's Romans 12:3b. It ends with, "As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So, in John 16:33, when Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," how does that encourage us? Well, in 1 John 5:4, NKJV, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And as we've just seen, God gives us our faith, so we don't even have to get it from somewhere. He's given it to us already. And as we walk with him and walk the talk and get to know our loving Redeemer better, our faith grows just like muscles in an athlete. A person wanting to become an athlete might start off rather unfit and his muscles are not very well defined. And when he runs, he can only do a short distance. But over time, he keeps running short distances. Over time, his muscles build up and then he can do longer distance and in faster times. So yeah, it applies to running as well as paddling. It's just that most of my examples come from paddling because that's what I know. So, we have the victory that has overcome the world. Just read it, 1 John 5 verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So, we are on the winning team. And to top it all off, we are assured of this in Revelation 3 verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And so we are encouraged to live life to the fullest, take the challenges in our stride, and it doesn't seem easy, but in his strength, in his grace, he makes it doable. He makes it, quote, easy, unquote, for us to handle, for us to cope with, for us to live through, for us to learn through. And that grows our spiritual muscles, that grows our faith muscles, and just like an athlete, whether it's running or paddling or any other sport, we get stronger the more we exercise. So just like David faced off against lions and bears before he faced off against Goliath, so we deal with our lions and bears, and when we do face a Goliath, it's no biggie. We will do it with the faith and in the strength and by the grace of our loving Heavenly Father, our loving Redeemer Jesus, and our Holy Spirit. So, go for it. Shine your light.